endured such atrocities for our own sake. The greatest honor we can give anyone is the act of remembrance. The commitment to remember is a commitment to engrave something of the past in the concrete of the present for the building of the future. We as a nation have determined that every year an act of remembrance will take place to ensure that we are reminded continually of sacrifices made for us. This is a good act. It is a great act. It is a respectful act. It's the greatest honor we can give to those who have given their lives. But there's a real danger. There is a real danger that we forget what remembering actually means. The act of remembrance is an act. You see, for many, the act of remembrance is simply associated with a mental exercise, a passive remembering, a simply bringing to mind that requires no response to the memories held, no action. The great Western philosophers have convinced us that our minds are separated from our bodies and our actions. And perhaps they persuaded us that to remember the past is simply to engage only in silent thought. But they are wrong. To give anyone the honor of remembrance would require that we are shaped in the present by our action of remembrance. And we know this, do we not? When you engage in the act of remembering, it has an effect on you in the present. So when you remember lost ones, perhaps you smile with joyful memories of the past. Perhaps they flood your heart and give you a smile. But even a simple smile cannot express the joy you feel. And so when someone asks you, why are you smiling? You begin to relive the memory by telling the story. And you don't just tell the story to answer a question. No, when you relive the past by telling the story, your hope is that those hearing you will be captivated by it. Your hope is that they will share your joy of the moment relived. Your hope is that they will be shaped and transformed by your retelling. Your hope is that your remembering will have some bearing on the future. Over the last couple of weeks, I have spoken to a number of you about your family's stories of war, about some of your personal involvement in the forces. And I have etched them on my heart. I have etched some of the struggles faced, some of the sorrow felt, some of the sacrifice made. And while I confess that they are stories that have no part in my personal history, I can tell you they are stories that have given me a greater respect for a day like today. A commitment to remember is a commitment to engrave something of the past in the concrete of the present for the building of the future. The act of remembrance is the greatest honor we can give anyone because it means that the lives of the past are given a powerful voice for the future. The act of remembrance cannot simply be a passive mental exercise. It cannot simply be a present acknowledgement. An honorable act of remembrance must have a voice for the future. Remembrance must have an active role in shaping the path ahead. An honorable remembrance will give space to hear the voice of the past so that it might shape the future. What good would it be if we said we honor sacrifices made in the past, if we then chose to grasp hold of values, ideologies, and beliefs that stood in stark contrasts to the freedoms that were fought for? What good would an act of remembrance be if it had no bearing on your life, if it had no contribution to your actions, if it had no say in your beliefs, and if it had no hand in your future? If the act of remembrance comes without action, it is simply an empty gesture, thought without substance, sacrifices made, freedoms bought, lives lost, all for nothing besides an impotent silence. This is not remembrance. Remembrance is the most honorable act we can give to sacrifices made, because the act of remembrance gives those of the past an authority in the present to guide, govern, and direct not only individual paths, but paths of future generations. It offers those of the past exactly what they sacrificed, a say in the future. The act of remembrance is powerful. It's a powerful present. It acknowledges those who are willing to lay their lives down in the past, and it acknowledges that they have an authoritative, trustworthy word for the present and the future. And it is this acknowledgement that brings them honor. The act of remembrance is powerful. It has the ability to transform the world. Jesus Christ, the Son of God, on the night that he was betrayed, took bread, broke it, and gave thanks. He took wine and poured it out, saying, "This is my body broken for you. This is my blood poured out for you." And then he said, "Do this in remembrance of me. Do this in remembrance of me." The most honorable thing we could do for anyone is the act of remembrance. It is the very act that the Lord Jesus Christ commissioned in his own sacrificial death. It was a powerful commission, and the church has gathered week in, week out for 2,000 years celebrating Christ's death and resurrection, remembering his sacrifice and being changed by the truth of the gospel. The act of remembrance is one that acknowledges Christ's presence in the church today. It recognizes his transforming power in the gospel. It gives the story of Jesus a voice to take hold of the future. So powerful is the gospel, rooted in remembrance of Christ's death and resurrection, that it has shaped all of the known world. It's the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ that transformed the world's thinking about humility, love, care, patience, and submission. It's the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ that has given sacrificial life, sacrificial death, its definition. So powerful were the effects of the gospel, so transformative was the good news of Christ's sacrifice, that it gave a new definition to the good life. The good life was no longer a life dedicated to the endless pursuit of power and glory. A good life was one that was lived out in love for God and neighbor. But this has not been appreciated by all. While the church has fought to remember Christ and all that he died for by proclaiming the good news and by demonstrating Jesus' love, others have sought to blot out his memory completely. The German philosopher who was appropriated by Nazi Germany's thought, despised the Christian faith. He called it weak and pathetic. He hated the fact that the Christian hope brought with it principles of equality. He hated the fact that its strength came from identifying with the poor, the meek, and the lowly. The Christian hope for Nietzsche needed to be dismissed with contempt and erased from our memory. The gospel of Jesus Christ produced lives characterized by faith, hope, and love. Faith in Christ, hope for eternity, love for God and neighbor. Nietzsche cried out, "Enough, enough. This is all weakness. Faith, hope, and love. Faith in what? Hope for what? Love for what? Enough." But the German philosopher did get something right. He knew that the Christian faith's greatest strength came from remembering Christ's sacrificial death on the cross. The Christian faith's greatest strength came in remembering Jesus, by preaching the good news, by following in his footsteps, by identifying with the weak, and being willing to lay down one's life for another. The greatest strength comes through weakness. The Christian faith's greatest strength came from the act of remembering Jesus. The act of remembrance is a commitment to remember. It's a commitment to engrave something of the past in the concrete of the present for the building of the future. There is a real danger that we forget that the act of remembrance is an act. But there's a second danger, and that is that we simply forget. The Royal British Legion this year has asked that we specifically remember together this year. The aim is that we remember that Britain fought together. Britain, men and women. Britain, together with the Commonwealth. Britain, together with allied nations. What is acknowledged in our effort to remember together this year is that we could be tempted to forget all who were involved. There is, of course, an effort to remember all nations who stood beside us. But we must acknowledge that it's easy to forget everybody's contributions. We, today, remember together. And our remembering includes other nations. But I can certainly say from an African context, much of this has been forgotten. Today we remember the Commonwealth. But much of remembrance in an African context has been forgotten. Much of remembrance has been forgotten from a personal involvement from an African context. Some contributions are forgotten on the one hand, but there's also explicit denials of the evils that took place in the past. Last month, the English football team took to the field in Bulgaria, only to be welcomed by Nazi salutes. The act of remembrance is under threat. We could forget that to remember that it is an act. We could simply forget. We could, in the end, give way to the evil of denial. If the world is tempted to forget, if we ourselves are tempted to forget, where does our hope for the future of remembrance lie? Our certainty, our hope, rests not in our ability to remember. Our certain hope rests in God's remembrance. In our passage today in Luke chapter 23, Jesus has been crucified. Those around him have forgotten the miracles he performed. Others around him stood mocking, participating in the evil. They stood mocking, participating in an evil that led to an innocent man being crucified. Two criminals are crucified next to Jesus. One insults him. The other turns to Jesus and says, "Jesus, remember me. Jesus, remember me when you come into your kingdom. Remember me." The act of remembrance, remember, is a commitment to engrave something of the past in the concrete of the present for the building of the future. A criminal hanging on the cross, a criminal whose days are numbered, turns to Jesus and says, "Remember me." Remembrance without an act is empty. Remembrance without a future is impotent. Jesus turns to the man and says, "Today you will be with me in paradise." Jesus remembers a man undeserving of a future. Jesus remembers him, and he is saved by the act of Christ's death. And because of Christ's death, his future, his security, is granted an eternity. Who am I that I should speak on Remembrance Sunday? Who are we that we should be gathered together today? Who are we that we should be remembered? And yet Jesus, addressing us from the cross, says he is willing to remember us in his sacrifice. His remembering is an act of saving us in the present for an eternal future. The greatest honor we could give anyone is the act of remembrance. The wonderful truth is, it's the very honor Jesus is willing to give us. The act of remembrance is not powerful because we remember. It's powerful because God chooses to remember. Today we remember sacrifices made for us. We remember those who gave their lives and those who are willing to give their lives in the fight against true evil and injustice in the world. our act of remembrance is in itself a fight against evil, a fight that provides a voice for the future. But we know that our remembering is weak. We know that our memories fade with generations. We know that within 100 years' time, most of us here will be forgotten. And it's not impossible to believe that the very act of remembrance we carry out today might just become a ceremony without substance, where the cries of the battlefield become the voice of the present, only to drift off into whispers of a distant past, and then give way to silence in ceremony, simply to be forgotten. Our only comfort for the future comes with acknowledging that the act of remembrance is not powerful because we remember. It's powerful because God chooses to remember. His remembering is a remembering that brings life from death. His remembering gives an eternity to those whose days have been cut short. His remembering will turn our sorrowful silence into a joyful song of praise.